All right, Dr. Sneath, it's been a long time.
Charles, how are you?
Good, how are you doing? So you recently changed roles.
I did, yes.
Can you tell us what you're doing these days?
Yeah, so as you spoke now, I've been the Windows Evangelist, running the Windows Evangelism team for quite a few years
yes.
now. It was about 7 years. And
totally.
This last summer, I took a sabbatical, took some time out. We went to Tanzania as a family. It's a whole story for a whole different video.
Awesome.
Came back, figured it was time for something, a bit of a change, and looked at sort of a couple of different roles, but the team that got me really excited was Microsoft Learning, which is a team that we haven't really talked about for quite a while on Channel 9.
Nope.
Learning is four different things.
Okay.
It's Microsoft Press, which of course a lot of people know for the books and things like that. It's certification, which I think we'll talk about a little bit in a minute. Some of the e-learning and other sort of training things that we offer online. And lastly, it's the traditional curriculum, things like the Microsoft official curriculums, the things you might go to with an MCT in a classroom, 5 days of training on different technologies.
So like certifications and things?
It could be certifications, it could be just practical real-world skills, readiness, that kind of stuff.
Great, so you're immediately starting to do new things that we're going to talk about today, right?
Yeah, it's a really different thing.
So who do we have here sitting next to you? Now, your title I know is very interesting, but...
I am Liberty Munson. I'm a doctor, too, so we can be Dr. Sneath, Dr. Munson.
You're a real doctor.
Doctors and Yep. I'm Microsoft psychometrician. I'm responsible for ensuring that our exams are valid and reliable measures of whatever it is they're supposed to be measuring.
Okay, now could you say that title again, please?
Psychometrician.
Now, what does that mean?
So it's actually, the psycho comes from psychology.
Okay.
And metrician comes from measurement or metrics.
Interesting.
And so it's the psychology of measurement, and it's applied to testing.
Okay.
And so the what's interesting about my job is that I get to play with data, a lot of statistics. Whenever someone takes an exam, they essentially leave a footprint. And in that footprint, I can tell how well the exam is performing, if it's still a valid and reliable measure. I can even tell if an item is working the way it should be working. And I can see all sorts of crazy information that I can tell about the performance of our exams just by having people take them.
Excellent. So what's new? Talk to us.
Yeah. So certification, we've had certification for years. I mean, I think I was like 21 when I took my first Microsoft exam. I think it was Windows 3.1 and DOS 6.2. It was testing command line switches and things. And of course, we kind of moved on from that a little bit. For a while, we've had a few different levels of exams. We have this thing called MTA, which is aimed at students, aimed at people beginning their track into the world of IT. Mm. We have the certified professional exams, and then we have the top of that, we have this thing called Microsoft Certified Masters, which are kind of like the pinnacle. Those are really kind of high-end sort of exams that are really measuring mastery of the different subjects. And then, of course, we have other things like Microsoft Office exams for end users.
Mm-hmm.
So today, we're announcing a major relaunch of the certification program, what we call internally Cert V3, which is basically bringing back the good MCSE and MCSD exams that we've had some while in the past. We're bringing them back, we've refreshed them, we're making them very focused around solutions rather than individual technologies. We're really changing the focus so that for IT pros, you can take certification on the latest generation of our products, have really interesting kind of questions that hopefully Liberty will chat about in a minute, and then really apply those into really important solutions areas like private cloud or data center collaboration, things like that.
Excellent.
And then on the developer side, again, we're refreshing it. We're moving away from the traditional enterprise devs as the primary audience to really encompass the broader developer crowd, particularly with Windows 8 coming along.
Sure.
Got a brand new set of exams that we're starting to work on right now that focus on mastery of the Windows 8 portfolio, as well as some of the other elements that are increasingly important to developers, Azure, ASP.NET, SharePoint, and those kind of things.
Excellent. Now, when you talk about the new Windows 8 platform, one of the things that's really cool about it is that it basically reaches or invites different, like the whole spectrum of developers, from people who can do JavaScript and HTML to the people who can really push the limits of computing, and these will be the C and C++ people.
Right, right.
Or we call them native devs or whatever, just the people who really like to move bits around.
There's some pretty hot JavaScript developers too.
There are, don't get me wrong. Right. Yes, there are. Now you have to do rocket science. But let me explain this to you, or ask you this. How do you go about making tests that basically will span that whole group of people when the platform is sort of this unifying force? That's
my question. So I can talk a little bit about the process of figuring out which exams we do, which has been something that we've been spending a lot of time on just over the last couple of weeks in particular. So this is hot off the press, in flight, you know, this is classic Channel 9, talking about what's going on through the design process rather than having all the pieces laid out and done.
Excellent.
But we think there's a couple of things when it comes to something like Windows 8. Number one is picking the skills around the languages, because as you say, there are very, very different kinds of skills out there, right? If you're an HTML5, JavaScript, CSS3 developer, you need to be proficient in that space first before you can really get familiar with WinRT, the Metro design language, contracts, and all the other pieces that go alongside that. And similarly, there's an equivalent track for if you're in the C# space, you know, maybe we'll do something around C++ as well. Mm-hmm. You know, other languages that people might want to get to, demonstrating language proficiency, and then demonstrating the skills on top of that. Just like if you went back to the old days to be a Windows Win32 developer, you'd need to know C++ pretty well first before you could master the API stack. So we're trying to come up with a model for the exams that is clean, that is consistent, and that is easy for people to jump onto at each different level. There really isn't any HTML5 cert at all out there right now today.
Interesting.
Nobody else does that at all, and so we're hoping that we'll be able to be an industry leader in that space. And then as we move up the stack, of course, we'll be testing key aspects of, can you not just build any old Windows application, but build a great Windows application?
Excellent.
The other half of that then is about how we measure those skills, and that's really Liberty's domain, and we can talk about some of the different item types we're exploring. In the past, it was all about multiple choice questions, right? Mm-hmm. And that can work, and you know, we should talk about that. But there are also different ways of testing the skills that are proving really interesting.
I bet.
So we are introducing a wide range of new item types on our exam. We're moving away from multiple choice. We want it to be a more interactive experience for our candidates, where they're not just checking a box or marking A, B, C, or D. So we have a variety of other item types we're introducing, from things like active screen, where they actually click on where they would go to find something or do something or enable something. We have build lists, which we use a lot of times for if something has to be done in a certain order, put the steps in the right order so that we can really understand that they see what comes first, next, and so on. We have drag and drop items. Works really well for things like network diagrams, where they have to move something in a network into the right place on the network and set it up correctly. We have some brand new item types that we're just rolling out and we're still kind of pilot testing. The one that's probably most relevant to the developers is we have a code-based item type where we're actually going to have candidates go in and type in code to solve a problem. We're going to roll that out with SQL Server, hopefully. That's our plan. Everything seems to be going well. Of course, things may fall apart and we may not actually get to launch it, but right now things look great, and so we're hoping we'll get to roll that out. Another key item type that we have that's relevant to the developer audience is we have a code case review, mm-hmm. where a candidate is given a whole bunch of information about the environment, the organization that they work in, and then they're given a huge block of code, and essentially they go in and they review the code and they answer questions about it, about things that might not be working right, how they might solve problems with it, what is this particular snippet of code intended to do, those kinds of things, to really get at their, can they really understand the code and can we measure those skills. So we're very excited about some of the new item types that we're implementing and launching.
That's great. Now, one of the questions I would have, because I'm actually have been experiencing it, because I've been playing around with Metro and writing some apps and working with some partners, actually Tim would be happy about
great.
That. So the thing that's interesting is, the concept that there's so much asynchrony in the Metro world, like everything's happening asynchronously, and a lot of developers aren't used to thinking that way. So psychologically, it could be interesting to test people, and I'm asking you this, one of the tests could be, does this person really, can they grok the async nature of the world they're about to jump into? Because, you know, the UI has to be fluid, you can't block the UI thread, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I just wanted to ask that, because to me, it's... it's clear that there's a lot of work that needs to be done as developers in general to start wrapping our heads around everything async.
Right, right. New set of skills, right? And yeah. So you think about something like JavaScript, and obviously we're talking a lot about the developer side here, but when you think about those patterns, new patterns to learn, new patterns to test, and so that's why I'm so excited about some of these exams. They're going to help people not only demonstrate their skills to the marketplace, mm-hmm. but also to really understand whether you've really understood the full variety of things that there are to learn. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the key elements of the process about how we go through designing exams is making sure that we don't just have some random group of features that the product group has said, you know, that we want to market these features, say, from a marketing point of view, but that we're actually testing a whole bunch of real-world skills.
So I don't know enough about the technology, and that's the great thing about my job, is I don't have to. I have subject matter experts who help me make those decisions,
sure.
who help me understand that
sure.
kind of thing. But what we involve subject matter experts throughout the whole exam development process. So what I hope happens is that the item writers, who are subject matter experts and mm-hmm. hopefully great developers, will look at the item types we have available and figure out how to combine the item type and create that, so we can measure the right kinds of skills and we mm-hmm. can have a successful, when someone passes the exam, they're clearly a qualified candidate,
sure.
and they know asynchronous stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, like, for example, like, they'll write up a little test, and then the test will have to go, that's not going to work because it's going to block the UI thread. They might not use that terminology, let's say, if they're a JavaScript developer. But it's going to make things not work very well, and you basically block the app. And that kind of thing, I think, will immediately be able to test if you can tell if someone's not doing it right.
Right, right.
Blah, blah, blah. That's really interesting.
One of the other interesting sort of areas that we're experimenting with at the moment is from more from the IT pro side. And today we're just announcing our IT pro certs, in particular,
great.
The private cloud certs. Those will be rolled out. MMS is the first place to get tested on those, and SQL Server 2012, again just in time for the launch of that product.
Great.
But one of the interesting things we're starting to explore now is getting data from CSS, our product support teams, who of course field lots of calls from customers with real urgent problems.
Great.
And so you imagine from an IT pro perspective, the kind of people you want to employ are the kind of people that when, you know, suddenly the servers stop working and, you know, the red lights start flashing and the help desk starts lighting up, they need people who are able to really understand the kinds of issues that come up in those situations and know the process for troubleshooting and resolving those things. And so we're looking with CSS at the kinds of processes that they lead customers through when they call with those kind of crisis calls, mm-hmm. and the kind of typical problem styles that come up, so we can again really match that in the testing process. And I think for some of these newest certs, private cloud, SQL Server 2012, those will be really, really interesting areas to be able to cover. And so if you get a new MCSE, you'll really be able to tell your employer, or you'll be able to validate on your resume that you really have the right kinds of skills for those kind of, you know, real performance situations.
And that's actually an excellent point, because it sort of, the elephant in the room is, why would one do this? Why does one get certified? So you got certified.
Right.
You mentioned.
Right.
What's sort of the psychology behind it? Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, come on, you're doing great. So what, talk to me a little bit about that. Like, what is the motivation behind getting certification?
So certifications exist to differentiate you from somebody else.
Okay.
So one of the key changes we're making to the program with the announcement of the Cert V3 is that we're trying to make our exams more rigorous and more relevant. So latching on to the CSS stuff, I can't tell you how excited my team is to have access to a lot of this data, because this is the stuff customers are calling about. These are the issues people need to be able to resolve.
Yes.
So if we start building certification content around this stuff, clearly the people who pass our exams are going to be the right people, have the skills that we want people to have around Microsoft technology. Making it more rigorous, we're already starting to do some of this with the new item types. They are, in fact, more difficult for people, because you can't guess them as easily, right? Multiple choice, in most cases, I have a 25% chance of guessing right. And if I'm taking the exam, odds are good I know a little bit about it, so I could probably eliminate some distractors. So multiple choice items, for better or for worse, they are good measures of a content area, but they are easier to guess. The interactive items, the different combinations of choices, make them much more difficult. So as a result, the exams are getting difficult. And so we're measuring things in a different way. We're doing it in a more rigorous way. We're requiring more of a deeper knowledge of the technology, mm-hmm. a broader knowledge across multiple technologies in many of the cases with our certifications. So as a result, I think what we're going to find, fewer people are actually going to be certified in the end.
Sure.
And it's clearly going to be a differentiator then. If you stick it out, you take your exams, and you earn that credential, especially at the solutions level, you will clearly be different and better than someone who doesn't have a certification.
Yeah, one of the things in the past used to be the kind of fear of a paper credential, right? Somebody mm-hmm. who can just pass it because they've read a book and they've been able to pass the exam just without any real world knowledge. A story you'll like, Charles. Mm-hmm. When I came into the team, I thought, I want to get going on these exams. I want to see what they're like myself because I know they've changed over the last 15 years.
Uh-huh.
So I went last Friday. I went to a community college about 20 miles from here.
Wow.
I did a kind of complete mystery shopper thing. Went and took an exam just like I was, real kind of candidate.
Sure.
I did a bit of paper reading. I read through some of the book materials. I looked through some of the courseware that we produce. I went in and took this exam with some of these new item types. Mm-hmm. I failed.
You did?
Yay! I failed. I was probably the only person in the MCP history who walked out that room delighted that I'd failed. Because
right on.
I knew that, we're starting to see the right impact of the work that we're doing here. No longer is it okay just to read a book and to walk into the room and assume that, well, if I've read the book, of course. It's not a reading comprehension test, it's a skills test these days. And so I wrote
Great.
A message to the whole team saying, well done guys, you achieved. So I really want to post the kind of failed thing on my wall, on my door, just so that people can see a good job.
Awesome.
So that's kind of, I think, really shows the kind of changes that these item types are starting to make. And we see that too on Amazon. I love looking at the Amazon reviews every week for all the books that my team is involved with. And there's only one kind of bad review that I like on Amazon. It's, again, the same kind of thing. It's where somebody says, I bought this book and I read it, and yet I still didn't pass the exam. And that's in a way a false expectation. We need to make sure we mm-hmm. set the right expectation on the book cover, that just because you read a book doesn't automatically guarantee you're going to pass an exam, because it's we should be teaching the right things in the book,
mm-hmm.
but it's more than just have you read 500 pages of words. It's about do you understand the technology? Have you put it into practice? Are you starting to get to skill with the edge cases? And so I really think that this new MCSE exam and the MCSA exam, which is kind of the core level exam that leads up to MCSE, will really give our customers a great way to differentiate themselves.
That's awesome. And of course, we could get into a much longer discussion, which we won't, about how this could apply to other forms of testing in other realms besides
right.
Microsoft's
right,
certification.
Right.
It sounds really interesting because a lot of people do memorize, and all of a sudden they have these letters behind their name and whatever.
Yeah.
But one of the last questions I would like to ask, because it looks like what you're doing, and I hate to say this word because it's a marketing term, but you're reimagining the Microsoft testing certification program.
Wow, Charles, you should do a lot of Windows interviews.
Dude, I must have, man. No, I'm poisoned, man. Marketing has gotten into my brain. But it sounds great. Now, in this new platform kind of world, because it sounds like you're really targeting platforms versus can this person write C++, and that's fine. Are they going to write apps? Are you going to have like scenario-based tests where, hey, I want to write an app that does blah, 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 blah. You'd expect somebody to know, well, I got to make sure that I can call out to a web server, mm-hmm. I have to make sure I don't block the UI, I have to make sure I follow these metro, blah, blah, blah. That's my question.
I would love to be able to do that. Right now, it's a logistical challenge for us mm-hmm. because of the worldwide nature of our program and some of the expectations candidates have around immediate scoring and things like that.
Wow.
And so if we can figure out how to get it and deliver it around the world so we're not prohibiting people who want to have the credentials because they live in a certain part of the world, they can't earn it
sure.
because of delivery issues and things like that and scoring, I would absolutely love to do it. In fact, we've kind of just been whiteboarding and brainstorming different ways about how we could potentially get more performance-based, for lack of a better word, of assessments of someone's skills and how to get those delivered. I mean, one idea would be if someone writes an app for the phone, for example, can we figure out how to get them certified, if they do that? And so is there a way we can leverage some of the stuff that's already happening in the community to get people excited about our certifications? So we're constantly thinking of trying to come up with new and better ways to do things and have better measures of people's skills mm-hmm. that people can really gravitate to, because I think most people would say, if you could just see me do it, you could see I could do it. But sometimes it's hard to do and actually implement.
Certainly.
Now, finally, I mean, is there anything that the Niners can do and the viewers can do to help?
Yeah. Well, we're just at the start of this, you know, the process of defining the developer exams for the Windows 8 timeframe. So that process is well underway at this point. One of the first things that we do is to create this thing called an objective
domain,
which is basically a list of all those skills that we want people to be able to demonstrate. So as we go through the process of taking that and then starting to turn it into questions and things, we run a bunch of different checkpoints where we're looking to real-world developers who are actively doing these things to validate some of those steps, to essentially beta test some of those things. So, you know, there's opportunities there. There's a couple of surveys that we're going through with that process for each of those exams to validate that we've not missed anything there that people care about in the real world.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, every phase of exam development involves subject matter experts. Mm-hmm. So watch Born to Learn, which is our blog, and we often post when we need subject matter expertise to help us with the surveys, mm-hmm. to help us potentially with item writing, to take our beta exams. Mm-hmm. That's one of the best ways, and people love that, because mm-hmm. it's an opportunity to see what the content looks like, kind of first, be the first person to see what it looks like. And then we also get a lot of great feedback from people who actually take the beta exam. Mm-hmm. So we try to get as many subject matter experts and people who know the technology to help us throughout all of the phases of exam development. So just kind of be on the lookout. Born to Learn is our kind of communication vehicle that we tend to use mostly. And that's probably the best way to help. And we really, really, really need SME help.
Great. Well, I think there's people out there that will be happy to. So great to see you again, Dr. Sneed.
Thank you.
And to meet you, Dr. Munson.
Thank you.